If you can't find the reason, the deep reasons why you want to be a dentist, then it's going to trickle down and you're never going to get to the spot that's supposed to make you happy to begin with.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Super pumped to be joined here with my guest, Dr. Will Jones.
Thank you.
I've had a lot of guests on recently, Will, so.
Yeah?
No pressure, but we got to continue to deliver good content so okay. That the listener keeps coming up. No, I'm excited. Will's been a longtime friend. Will's been involved with 3Dentist stuff really since
2018.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about all that. Hey, if you before we jump into that, this podcast is sponsored by me, so I can sell you whatever I want. At 3Dentist, we are doing our 3D Growth Summit in a couple weeks, and it is sold out. That's right, 400 people sold out in Nashville, Tennessee. Cannot freaking wait. But good news, we're selling live stream tickets. So you can buy the live stream. Watch it from the confines of your own office, your own home with your team, $3.99. And go check that out, 3D-dentist.com. You also get the recording. So that to me seems like a no-brainer, really. Wouldn't you agree, Will?
I agree.
You'll be there in person, though.
I will.
Good to see that. All right. So let's jump into this. Will, I'd like to do a longer podcast with you, like more of a journey podcast. But, you know, I want to get into some level of topic or... And I've been trying to keep things shorter. So like what I want to talk about, and I briefly kind of told you before we jumped on, is you've been in kind of the 3D systems and circle for a while. You've heard about the things we talk about. We've been talking a lot about scheduling on the podcast. And something happened over the last year where you did re-engage, but specifically I think something's different has happened this go around from your previous engagement with us. That's made it click, or that's made it work, or, I mean, kudos to you. Like, I don't know if you've ever beaten us in a month in collections. I'm still a little hurt on this, but last month you beat us in collections, which I'm just super impressed about.
Well, thank you. And a big part of this was a walk on a beach with T-Bone, who told me that ultimately it is my choice on whether I leave dentistry or not, because that was on the docket a few years ago. And not a lot of people know that I was struggling so much to even come to work, but that was the reality.
I don't want to dive into it. I mean, I want to dive into it a little bit because I'm curious, like, was that the people, the work? I mean, you're kind of a CE junkie, so I don't believe that you didn't like the profession. So, like, what point do you think got you to that brink?
Right. I bit off too much. More than I could chew. So building the Burkitt Center was more of a backbreaking process than I thought it would be. And having all of that as one person, whereas you had your dad to split things with you and even mentally split things with you, I didn't have that. And it was just an overwhelming sense of responsibility. And so
to connect you to some dots for the listeners who don't know you, you went in with your dad, a little different. Your dad was ready to get out, sooner. Obviously, he's gone now.
Right.
And then... within being in that practice for how long did you buy the practice and then decide to leave? Which y'all own that space, but it was just not as big as you wanted.
No, we leased.
Okay, you leased it. So it was a matter of like, hey, the lease was expiring. What do we do?
Exactly.
And you were like, let's go big.
Yes. And big, we went.
Like if they build it, they will come.
Right.
But I don't really have a plan outside of just, that's what I've been told.
Yes, exactly. So built as massive as my bank account would allow. And the bank would allow. And
which, by the way, is not a good way to do it because the bank will allow. Well, they will give you a lot of money.
They will. And that they did. So I spent all of it. And
do you mind sharing what your, I mean, share to the level that you want to share. But like as far as like just the extent of where that pushed you.
Well, you mean spiritually and emotionally?
Yeah, well, that part definitely. But I'm just saying like from a financial standpoint, like to give the perspective of like. Like, this is where I was trying to get to as far as what I was trying to cover and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my loan is a $4.2 million loan for a 5,000 square foot space, which is rather insane. So, you know, my
monthly payment, what was that looking like early on when you first started?
$21,000.
Before you even, another bill got paid, $21 off the top.
$21. and now it's at 35. So the pressure that that put on me was extremely substantial, and I was concerned that I really wasn't going to be able to come to work because I was so emotionally broke down. But I would always
come
to work.
That's scary, frankly.
It was. And so it was hard to come to work, but I was able to get to work and make all of that for the team, make that a part of our process where they didn't really feel, or I thought they didn't really feel, that I had one foot in and one foot out of the practice. But ultimately, they did feel that, and the practice suffered. And so fast forward 3 years where I had felt like I didn't know if I wanted to be in dentistry. I'm on the beach with T-Bone, walking. I've reengaged with you guys. And basically he just says, listen, your spiritual journey in this life, you can have everything that you want if you can just put everything you have into dentistry right now. Because you doing one foot in the spiritual world and one foot in the dental world is only hurting both worlds. So you have to make a decision. Either stay in dentistry.
Shit or get off the pot.
Yes. Just kill it here or leave. And I realized that there was no reason why I couldn't think that I'm a powerful enough person to completely change my life around and stop being the victim. Because that's ultimately what I felt, is that the world was happening to me. And so ultimately, in that moment, it was just from that day on, now I am the producer, the creator of every day that I have. And from then on out, my numbers changed.
Is that something, because I think that's not an uncommon feeling to feel what you're feeling. And like, whether that's student loans, like, did I make the right decision? Whether that's buying a building, whether it's buying a practice. Like, I think this is a common, it's easy to get to have that fear. And frankly speaking, that fear can paralyze people from moving forward. So my question is like, you have a very defining moment that's like, this is when life was different. But I'm assuming that, similar to, like, maybe this is a bad analogy, but like an alcoholic chooses not to be an alcoholic every day, that there's a mental part of this that is, you got to choose that every day, that I'm going to choose to be engaged, excited, and kind of make my, be the creator of my own day. Is that fair?
It is. And ultimately you have to recognize that you can play the victim, and the universe is going to reflect that back to you and give you situations that always make you feel like that. Or you can realize that you're the creator of your own life and take advantage of that and build as much of a amazing video game world that you want. And it's really totally up to you. And what's interesting about that is I still see that in some of my friends who are dentists, where you can just talk to them about their day.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
And their whole day has happened to them. Right. And so my belief is that their next day is going to reflect that back to them again. And so that is what I call the victim mindset. So you're wondering why you're not growing. You're wondering why you're not happy. And it's because your world in your own mind is happening to you, as opposed to being able to understand how much of a powerful creator you are. But you have to own that. That is a deep feeling you have to know.
It's funny because, like, this happens on such even minor levels. Like, I'm thinking of, like, I'll hear people say, well, I didn't schedule it that way, or like, I didn't do this or that. And I'm like, it's your building.
Right.
It's your practice.
Right.
Like, what do you mean you didn't? Like, at the end of the day, like, T-Bone's, you know, one of the big sayings he's been saying, which I think is great. It's actually the title of his lecture for the summit. So tease that. Everything rises and falls with leadership.
Yes.
Everything rises and falls with leadership. And if, as a outside viewer, that's what I've seen is different, is you were, like, you've always been a very talented dentist. You've always been a good communicator. You have become a really good leader.
Yes.
And are becoming a good leader. Like, right, like, I don't think that's something, like, I don't think I'm, like, a great, like, I feel like I'm a better leader now than I was yesterday and so on. But that, I think, to me, is when I look at the switch and say, like, it wasn't like you started taking better photos, doing better dentistry, selling poor cases. What really probably changed was you kind of became this leader that you wanted to be. And then, look, I mean, it's fun. So just to give some context to why Will's even in my office today, is his team's here and they're doing, like, a team training, basically. And the culture is just different. like the vibe of the people, the conversation, the engagement level. And that, I think, does rise and fall with you. So give us some practical examples then, I guess, of where you felt like you've been the creator of your day in that regard and like taken back hold of some things. Like, what are some tangible examples of things you've seen over the past whatever, however time, that have led to what I'm seeing and what we're seeing, frankly speaking, with the numbers of this shit working?
Well, a part of it is truly the vibe, and then a part of it is the amount of time I've put into it. So,
ooh, that's a good one. Talk about that.
Well, so after the walk on the beach, that moment, my entire persona, the energy I'm putting out into the world, I mean, this is the spiritual part coming out, but the energy that I'm putting out into the world is now this, instead of if one more thing happens to me, I am going to quit dentistry. That was the vibe I was bringing to the practice. And now it is, and ever since that beach weekend, it was, it doesn't matter what happens. You're going to get the same leader from me. It doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant to what happens day to day.
Do you feel that day in and day out? Like, patient's an asshole. They are complaining about money. You get a bad review. Like, do you feel yourselves react differently to those situations?
Well, yes, but it's also important to point out that it doesn't mean I'm never in victim mode.
Okay.
There will be a day where I have a bad day, and I'll recognize that I'm blaming my feelings or my energy on what's happened in the day. And I remember, oh, wait, I don't act like that anymore. That's Dr. Willow 1.0, and that's not who I am anymore. So it doesn't mean I don't feel that victimhood status sometimes. It's just 99% less than it used to be. So a part of it is bringing that vibe every day. And listen, if you're the type of dentist that you are struggling so much to come to work, it is so difficult to come, then you've got to recognize that that energy then translates to the rest of your team. And if you can't find the reason, the deep reasons why you want to be a dentist, then it's going to trickle down and you're never going to get to the spot that's supposed to make you happy to begin with.
Absolutely.
Right? So that was a part of it, is the vibe. And the other part is the time that the team saw.
Or to piggyback off that, not to interrupt, but what I also see in that same concept transpire is that we're always searching for, like, we're always, that same mindset often leads to, and so this is another example of how it plays out if this is you, is it leads to a mindset of like, well, when I get to 2 million, things will be good.
I'll be happy.
When I get to, I have this technology, when I place this many implants, when I get this team, it becomes this game of like, when I get there, it will be solved. And it's like, spoiler alert.
Right. You're never going to get there.
Yeah.
That's not life. And this is not a dental episode. You know, this is a life.
It is true in that regard.
Right. So a part of it was the vibe, but then recognizing that the amount of time that I was willing to spend at work and yet still not be exhausted, it was like I was going to the gym where you could just run for 4 hours because of how you felt. So whereas in 2021, where I'd go to work from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., I would have to go home and lay on the couch and fall asleep. Whereas with the same type of dentistry, having the same type of problems on the dental office, now I'm there from 6:30 to sometimes 6 or 7 p.m. because not married, no kids yet, so I don't have to worry about that. But
because you want to be there.
But I wanted to be there, and I would leave and feel good the next day.
Fulfilled.
Completely fulfilled and not feel exhausted at all. So it was a complete mindset shift on what the vibe then changed in the practice, and even how that changed the amount of time I was willing to put into it. So now all of a sudden you think, I can only go to the gym for 30 minutes because I really don't want to be there. Now I'm in the gym for 2 hours, the proverbial gym, for 2 or 3 hours, and I can still push harder. And the next day, so getting back to the gym, that was work.
Yeah.
So I cannot overestimate the power, or I can't overstate the power of your own deep feelings resonating and leaking out your surroundings and the people around you, and how much that affects everybody.
One thing I want to follow up on, and this is a kind of another good topic to discuss that ties in, and then we'll call it a day. But you've now hired 3 different associates, correct?
Well,
at some point in your career.
Oh, yes, yes.
Meaning you hired one, they are left, you've hired another one, and now you've hired a second one. So now you have 2 associates. talk to me about, because I think this is a reality for all the owners listening that are like, when do I hire the associate? How do I handle the associate? How do I lead the associate? Because that obviously plays a role. Talk about the differences in, and it's not like you're not like you've had bad associateships, but talk about the differences in how your leadership and what you've done differently with the current group of associates than you did with your first associate, because your first associate's like, you know, there's so much learning that has to go into that.
Yes.
To begin with. But talk a little bit about that and how that's played a role in the development of everything.
So I'd say that one of the biggest things that changed between the first associate who ended up leaving and the next two associates is my comfortability in conflict, because the first dentist, the first associate was a great dentist and had a great mind for the practice. But where I thought that we might have to change gears or change treatment plans or not do something that he wanted to do, I'd recognize how nervous I was to talk to him. I really did not. I had zero conflict ability. And even though I still would talk to him about some things, it made me so nervous. And I bet he felt like that too, that he's just like, are you sure this is what you really want to do?
Trouble.
You know, is this even what you want me to do? Because I was always dancing around the conflict because I didn't want to deal with it. Whereas now in the practice, it's just a simple mindset. And it's ironic that we're talking about this, because I just read this amazing leadership book called The Motive. Mm. That is actually a leadership fable. And it talks about Mulally, I don't remember, or Mulaney, and he was brought Ford Motors back from the brink of death. And they were talking about his leadership style was so neutral with the problem. He almost thought it was fun to have to sit someone down and say, hey, other team members think you smell. I need you to be okay with changing how you are smelling, or this person is having issues with the fact that you're always aggressive. And he never thought it was a problem. He never thought it was an issue to bring it up. He just sat right in front of them and said, hey guys,
call it a spade a spade.
This is what it is. And I'm not worried about it. And this leadership fable is not necessarily about him specifically, but it brings him up and talking about how not everyone is built to be a CEO. It's an amazing book, and it's a one day read. And so
there's nothing in my life that's a one day read. I'm not a reader.
Fair enough. But yes, so that's the thing, is that what changed really is my understanding of what it took to be a leader, number one, and then comfortability in conflict to say, if this is what's going to make them want to leave, then they're going to leave anyway. And lo and behold, regardless of how I felt about my associate, as great as he was, he ended up leaving anyway, because that was what was best for his family. So it didn't matter that I was trying to be super sensitive with any of the conflicts anyway.
Yeah. And typically, I think part of the reason we are conflict averse is because we haven't laid out clear expectations. And then it becomes difficult to address something that wasn't made clear in the beginning.
Right.
It's like, is this conflict? Is this, did I make you feel this way? Was I not clear? Whereas like in hindsight and now moving forward, like we lay out things with our associates so much clearer than we did when we have success paths, right? We have 30-day, 60-day, 90-day meetings. We have weekly, daily recaps of different things. We're taking x-rays. We're reviewing them. Like, we set a standard for feedback and for healthy conflict or conversations very different than we did with our first associates early on.
Right. And if you didn't give them that path to begin with, then they're going to think it's weird that you're all of a sudden...
Yeah, you flip a switch. Oh, my gosh.
Road.
Which is no different than why we need new patients, because like when you make changes, it's weird to the recare. Not weird to the new patient. So on some level, this is the same way why naturally what I'll tell you is you're going to have team turnover, right? Like the team that, how much of the team is there now that was there when you joined your dad?
No one.
No one. Wow. How many team members did you have?
Maybe around 12 or so.
And then how many team members do you have now?
24.
Wow. Double the amount of team members, none. And then how much describe how much bigger the practice is, like collections wise? You don't have to give numbers if you want to, but just specifics as far as like where you were when the practice was there and where it is now.
We are
three times bigger, two times bigger.
We are three times bigger as of last year's collections, and this year's collections is blowing that out of the water. And in fact, last week's collections used to be 3 months' collections.
No.
Last week's collections was just crazy. And again, it just comes back down to really the vibe you're bringing to the practice, and to say, this is the reality. You know, this is not special that we're making this so much money.
Well, it's vibe with systems, because I think what's interesting is like, if you look at back, if we were to like get really into the weeds of details, we would see from when you took over the practice to when maybe a year and a half ago, it grew. Conceptually, there were system changes that made impact. The difference is what it looked like and felt to you.
Yes.
And what it felt like to the team. It wasn't sustainable. And that I think is important to point out, is that the growth that we desire in all of our practices is sustainable growth that's enjoyable. And like, that's something that we pride ourselves on. And like, I know you're just part of the family as I am, as far as the 3D Dentist family goes. And like, we as a group pride ourselves on that. The goal is not more money per se. The goal is to build a practice that you get to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, and live the way you want to, enjoy coming to work every day. And that typically does get paired with naturally more money, as now we're seeing it is like your curve of growth was almost linear, and then it's now gone into like an exponential phase. Like, yes. When you think about that exponential graph, it's like, and the what has triggered, and I think will continue to do that, is the leadership aspect of it. So,
right.
Kudos to you, man.
Thank you.
Well, this was good. You know, I didn't know what we were going to get into. We just kind of jumped in here and wanted to record, but
awesome.
This is fun. Everybody, you know, work smarter, not harder. Will, how can they reach out to you if they want to follow up questions? They got questions for you.
That would be wjonesdental@gmail.com.
wjonesdental@gmail.com. We'll reach out to Will and, you know, let us know what you thought about the episode and more things you want to talk about. And yeah, share with your friends. Otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.